Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show as we visit. Got a 30-minute visit here. This is the second of two segments with new UTC defensive coordinator Lorenzo Whammy Ward. The Mocs have gone back to the future because Ward was here from 94 to 98 and coached a guy named Rusty Wright. And Rusty Wright is now the head coach of the Mocs. And the announcement of Whammy's hiring was yesterday. Of course, Whammy played at Alabama. Let's talk about that for a second. You played with Derek Thomas. Is that the, I mean, what?
Dude. Like a dude.
The all-time stud duck.
Yeah, Derek was really good. Cornelius Bennett was there also. So, the freshmen, they had some outside linebackers. And, then Keith Kantz came along. There was like three great linebackers, outside linebackers in a row, with Cornelius and Derek and then Keith McCants. And so Derek Thomas is very, very special too. Now he could do it all.
I think Auburn was playing like East Carolina or somebody in 86. And so I didn't go to the Auburn game that day. Me and some buddies drove up to Legion Field and saw Cornelius Bennett's hit on Burline in that Notre Dame game. That still will go down as one of the hardest hits of all time.
Yeah, that pitcher is probably still selling. Yeah, I know a guy made a lot of money off selling that pitcher because it was a naked boot. I'll never forget it. I was there, and he came off the backside edge, and he never stopped.
Well, and you touched on somebody because Jay and I talk about this all the time. You go from Bennett to Thomas to Keith McCants, and of course, in your last game against an SEC team, the Iron Bowl, the first Iron Bowl in Jordan-Hare Stadium. I mean, Keith McCants ran down an Auburn receiver, Shane Wasden, in that game, and we were both on the belief that, like, okay, McCants is going to go on and be the next great one. Are you surprised that he didn't translate his college talents to the NFL?
Well, yeah. Again, you're always surprised when you see a guy that's that talented. But again, I think it's all about your work ethic and what you put in is what you're going to get out. And I think those first two guys we named put a lot in and they got a lot out. And so I don't think Keith. I think he didn't play on his loins that way.
Gotcha. All right. What about when you go back to those days as a player and your first few years as a coach, and then fast forward to now? What about the game just kind of blows your mind as far as how different it is from an X's and O's standpoint?
Well, from playing days, everything was mainly in between the hashes. Mm-hmm. And you had to stop the run. But in today's football, you got to defend 52 and a third. And that's from sideline to sideline because everybody's spreading you out. The game has totally transcended to that spread offenses. And that's what people do now. We had a little workout session with the players this morning at 7 a.m. at the intramural field. And I was telling the guys, the bottom line in today's football is that no quarterback is under center. So that's no more reading the keys from the quarterback under the center. Now you got to find out what's going to be the snap cadence from whether it's lift the leg or whether it's the hand up or whether it's the center and the guard tapping the center. So the game has totally changed. And it's better for offenses, and it's tougher for defenses.
We're talking off the air that we've got a mutual friend in Josh Kendall who comes on our show all the time to talk South Carolina. And our favorite Spurrier story that he tells is when y'all went down to UCF and beat them and how hot that game was and how Spurrier typically on the way home from games doesn't mind having a banquet beer or two. And I guess he had just gotten so dehydrated that when he did his coaching show, his speech was a little bit slurred during the show. And Josh Kendall, people started texting him and blowing up his stuff, And so he called Spurrier and he said, "Well, coach, were you drunk on your show?" And he said, Josh Kendall said, Spurrier goes, "I hope not." That was his response. But I just didn't know whether it's a meeting standpoint or on the field or whatever, surely you've got a go-to Spurrier story.
Well, yeah. And actually it's about my son. We was in camp. During this time of year, it was June, and so Spurrier had a grandson, Davis, who was same age as my son, might have been a year older, but they was on the smaller kids' field, and we was over with the high school kids, and so we had a little break in between, and Spurrier came up to me, and he said, "Whammy, Dominic's going to be a great athlete when he loses about 10, he pat my stomach. I'm like, coach, the dude is 11 years old. He got baby fat.
That's one thing. He patted your stomach.
The thing about Coach Spurrier is that, what he thought he was going to say. He's a guy that whatever he felt he was going to say, and so you know he's going to get the truth from you.
How special were those three? I mean, y'all went 11-2 back to back to back, and we all know the history of South Carolina football. It's been typically a 500 program, and y'all did something that had never been close to being done before, going 33-6. How special were those three seasons?
It was great. I mean, it was awesome. But again, I think it goes back to the players. I think the number one thing that happened to make that possible is we kept all the top players in the state. They came to South Carolina, from starting with Stephon Gilmore being the top player in the state coming there, and then after him, Lattimore came, and then Clowney came, and you add all other guys that were had been already in the program developing, and then Alshon Jeffrey was in that also. So I think keeping all those guys and getting them to come to South Carolina really turned the program around, and so that's why we had those three special seasons.
And I got to ask a follow, because, I mean, y'all beat Clemson, what, 5 straight times?
5 years in a row.
And how surprised are you that Dabo has been able to not only break through and win state, but ACC and national championships?
Well, I think Dabo he understands that the game has changed, that you can't, the way that you might have learned to coach, you can't continue to do that. You got to change with times, and he's done a great job with that. And the number one thing that they do is they recruit. They recruit very well, and because they got great players, and you win with great players.
He also recruits those assistant coaches. Those he doesn't have the same turnover that a lot of these programs have, it seems like.
Well, again, I think it's now that he's won 2 national championships, I think if he continues to do that, win national championships, I think then people will start to take his coaches like they do Nick Saban.
Now, if y'all win back-to-back FCS national championships, are you going to be expecting a $2 million salary like Brent Venables gets at Clemson? I mean that kind of thing.
Maybe $200,000.
Okay, all right, fair enough, fair enough. I did want to ask you, tell me the story behind how you got the nickname Whammy.
Well, it's kind of two parts. My college roommate was Michael Smith. And Mike got into coaching. He was in high school coaching. He got into basketball and did well and won the state down in Eufaula. But there was this game show, which is, I understand, it's coming back.
Yes, it is coming
back. So he
used Press
to tell
Your Luck's
me,
the name of it.
He used to tell me all the time in the room that you look like that little alien that's running around the board. And so it started. And then one day we was in practice, and I forgot who it was, but one of the receivers came across the middle, and I hit him, and one of the coaches said, "You really whammed him." And so it just took off.
Okay. No whammies, no whammies, no whammies. No, I'm well versed in Press Your Luck, my good man. And you do kind of look like the whammy.
So I guess he was right.
He was right. He was 100% right. Well, I asked you some of the highs and lows of coaching. What is the advice that you would give any high school player we're listening that may be listening right now? What can they do to take the next step?
Well, again, I think, they have to listen to the coaching, take coaching. And, in this day and time, it's totally different than in the past. Kids are more developed. So, I think they have to do extra because the time that coaches get are limited and the time they can spend with you. I think you got to do extra. You got to become strictly a professional at your craft. And whatever that craft is that you're supposed to be good at, you got to master it.
David asked you about some of your great Spurrier times. Who did you have an opportunity to potentially, whether it was interview or something, that you did not get to work with that you would have liked to have coached with? What staff or what head coach or what even assistant coach?
Well, I guess, I will never ever question the decision I made in coaching.
Right.
But I was at Virginia Tech when Nick Saban got the LSU job. And I was one of the first guys he called and offered a job without even interviewing me. And I turned him down to stay with Coach Beamer. And he called me again the next season when he lost to DB coach. I turned him down again. And so, again,
No whammies.
You think of those things. But, again, I've been blessed with the career I had and the people I work with. And I wouldn't change it for anything.
And you had that was an interesting deal with Saban because he left Michigan State to go to LSU and his assistant stayed with Bobby Williams.
Yes.
And so that was kind of a wild deal. And I know Saban actually caught heat for that. It's like, well, do people not like him? Nobody's following him down there kind of thing. I remember those articles being written at the time. All right, Whammy, you've been great, but we can't let you go because when we have guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire, just first thing off the top of your head. You ready to play?
Okay.
What is your go-to movie, favorite movie of all time?
That is tough. My go-to movie is Man on Fire with Denzel Washington.
Okay.
That's a great movie. The who was the best player you ever played against?
The best player I ever played against. I would say, Tim Brown.
Okay.
If you didn't coach, what could you see yourself doing?
Being a principal. You know, that's what I really wanted to do. I went to started my master's in administration so I could be a principal, but got into coaching instead.
You've got a golf shirt, a golf attire on. What is your favorite club in your bag?
7-iron.
Your favorite moment as an Alabama player?
Probably winning the SEC championship.
Your as an Auburn graduate, your least favorite moment as an Alabama player?
Losing the first game ever that Alabama played Auburn in Auburn.
Your favorite moment as a coach?
My favorite moment as a coach was probably the Georgia football game in 2000.
Really? Okay. That was an unbelievable performance.
Especially being a coordinator and having a chance to run the defense, and like anything you call worked.
Because you're right. I mean, that thing was like 35-0 for a long time. Yeah.
Did Spurrier give more heck to the defensive coordinator or the offensive coordinator?
Well, he had to be the defensive coordinator because he was the offensive coordinator.
Fair point.
All right, you got a little knee brace on there. Is that back from the playing days?
It is. The knee's been bothering me, but Dr. Worley here in town has done a good job with it, so it's getting better.
Your go-to sandwich?
My go-to sandwich? Ooh, I'm not a big sandwich guy. But if I had to go to one, I probably would take the Italian sub from...
It doesn't matter. Italian sub's good.
Well, okay, Tyson sub.
All right. Listen, this has been great. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you think it's going to be like if you and Rusty get into it?
We won't get into it.
At all?
Not at all.
So you're saying over a 6-month period, a coordinator and a coach won't ever get into it, you don't think? Because sometimes you have the spat and then let bygones be bygones and walk away.
Well, what I think I've learned in my 27 years, but going on my 20th year of coaching, is Rusty's head coach, what Rusty says goes, and so if he wants something done, that's the way it'll be done.
Good stuff.
And he's dealt with Spurrier, who I've played golf with, and he is no easy tickle. So I imagine he's going to be able to handle anything Rusty says, because if he can handle Spurrier for 7 years, dear buckets, man.
I know Rusty won't be in this category, but if I had to ask the biggest micromanager you've worked under in your career.
Well, I guess it had probably Coach Petrino.
Okay.
Really? Yeah. All right. That's interesting. That's a good question, David.
All right. Well, listen, Whammy, thank you so much for joining us. This is the first time you've been here. It won't be the last. We've really, really enjoyed this. Best of luck. We know you love Chattanooga, and Chattanooga is lucky to have you back. And thank you so much for joining us here on Press Row.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. Lorenzo Whammy Ward joining us. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.